Good evening, and welcome to this week's Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is the facts about mandates, law by edict. Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. And also be sure while you're on, if you like, you can make some comments, make some notes. I do see we're getting a good start to our show already. And also, you know, throw some hearts and flowers and whatever Podbean allows you to throw our way to make sure that Podbean and my sponsor knows that we're doing well on this podcast. We open prayer as always. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I don't even know where to begin. Faith is a powerful thing. And your path is crooked and unknown. God bless you, that we have you to sustain us. But Heavenly Father, I don't know where we're headed. I don't know what your path is, and I'm frankly scared, and I'm sure others are. Please help us. Please save us. Please save your church. Please save your world. Because we need help. We've lost so many people to Satan. Let us all pray tonight and pray to you, dear Lord, in your heavenly name, that the path you're providing will save our souls and hopefully our future. We pray in your heavenly name. Amen. Shout out to our patrons still. We need some more patrons, folks. It's, you know, $1 a month if you want. You can put whatever you want in. Lisa, Reverend Dave, Alicia, Catherine, and Rudy. And I always throw a few bucks in just because it's a platform that I like. And I love the my sponsor. So God bless you all. And thanks for any help you can provide. Thank you, Marilyn. So, a little rough tonight. I've been having these early winter, I don't know what they are, colds or something. I actually took off of work earlier today for half day because I was doing so terrible, and went out and took a walk to blow some steam off. You know, exercise is really good. They talk about all these viruses, not just the COVID, but the flu and anything else. And, you know, eating right and getting that air and that exercise, getting that sunshine, getting those natural things and staying away from bad stuff. Very important. Now, after that long walk, I felt a whole lot better. I can actually do my podcast. I think if I had worked the entire day, I just wouldn't have made it. The sunshine, the beautiful air outside just did wonders. So we're going to open. And I'm glad that I see Joanne in particular here, and Marilyn too. Hi, Marilyn. We're going to digress for a moment. Just saw an article. The article was in a September-October issue. I think it was Popular Mechanics, maybe. Believe it or not, it's not on this. I'm going to have to write down what it is. Anyway, I still got the magazine. So what's our big problem right now? What's Joe Biden talking about all the time right now? And what's the alphabet soup and the networks and all the other ones talking about? Talk about supply chain, the problem with supply chain. Now Biden's saying, oh, we're going to get all these containers moved into California. First of all, how the hell are you going to move the containers? You can drop them on the shores. You can stick them in the ocean, put them wherever the hell you want. How are you going to move them out if the truckers aren't there to move them? How are you going to move them when everybody's quitting because they've got mandates that they've got to do things they don't want to do? And they're quitting. I don't know what their problem is, but all right, enough said of that. The problem is the supply chain. You know what? Do you think it's possibly intentional? I don't know that it's a backup or a backlog at the ports. This article is interesting because do you realize that between 2017 and 2019, it's 2017 and 2019, 3-year period, there was an annual loss of 779 containers from container ships, which in this article they're blaming on high seas and other things. You know, sometimes a ship will rock, a container will fall. You got to remember, when they talk these containers, it sounds like, oh, it's an Amazon box. Now, these containers are fucking things they put on the back of tractor trailers. These containers are the size of a tractor trailer. And they're falling off the ships. And some of them are bigger. There's a lot of stuff in those containers. 779 per year, but that's not the trick. What happened in 2020? The year of the pandemic, the year of screw Donald Trump and get rid of him, the year of go Joe Biden. What happened in 2020? You know how many ship containers were lost in 2020? There was over 3,000 containers lost in 1 year. It was 779. There's over 3,000. As of this year, there's well over 1,000 going on to 2,000 containers falling off ships. Does that sound like coincidence? To me, it sounds intentional. 3,000 containers lost in 2020. 3,000 containers is enough to fill 4 Walmart stores, assuming they're empty. It's a lot of stuff. That would cause a supply chain problem now, wouldn't it? Think about that. 3,000 containers just missing, gone overboard. I don't think rogue waves were to blame for all of those containers being lost. I honestly don't. Most of them come from China. China's the enemy. Anyway, get off my high horse now. But I saw that. I had to bring that up tonight. You know, I always bring a relevant topic up that comes last minute. I plan my main topics, but there's so much crap going on these days that you don't want to miss a trick here. You don't want to miss something that's important to talk about. So mandates, let's talk mandates. First of all, let's see how they can do it. People say, oh, we've got our constitutional rights. So Constitution Amendment 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. They're always bringing this up. So the federal government has no right to get in our business. The federal government should protect our country from foreign adversaries, provide a standing army, and get the hell out of our business. You know, I despise libertarians. I cannot deal with libertarians. But on this matter, I agree 100% with libertarians. Get the government, get the federal government out of the state's business. And the way they do this now, you got to understand that by mandates, executive orders, judicial decisions, and police powers that are instilled upon this nation, the federal government has full control and reign of every individual and every organization. Now, it's a different type of reign. I had a question brought up about the vaccine mandates. And I'm going to jump back because when I talk mandates, everybody says, it's a vaccine mandate. There's other mandates that are equally important. But when you talk mandates, there's a difference between a government mandate and a state mandate. Now, they, when you talk about the government, government can control anything that their employees do. They can put them to battle. They can inject them with Lysol. They can do whatever the hell they want. They can send them out off the battle. You work for the federal government. If you're employed by the federal government, you are their slave. It's even more so than if you work for a private company. A private company, you have the ability to have a union that, or go to your boss and talk to them and try to knock some sense into them. When you work for the federal government, you are a servant of the government. You're no longer an individual. Now, they're dropping this off to other things. They're dropping this off to government contractors as well. And anyone doing business with the government, anyone that receives funding from the government. You know, I think that there's something wrong with that. I think that can be challenged in the Supreme Court. So I don't think they have any business withholding federal funds or demanding anything from an institution that receives funds from the federal government. Those funds should be given. They are our money. That's our money should be given without question and without strings or attachments. They never are, but they should be. That's something we need to fight. But if you work for the federal government, you're... You know, everything is about the backdoor entrance, and it's all about the two things. It's about the money, about the willingness of corporations. Corporate America is one of the most evil things in the world, but federal government's twice as evil. You always got to follow the money. It's also about police powers under what they call emergency situations, which they can define however they choose. Suddenly, when you're in an emergency situation, all the rules go to hell. Now, there's several things that really need to go. Number one, executive orders need to go. Number two, judicial decisions should not create law. Judicial decisions should be sent to the Congress to be voted on to determine whether a law should be enacted. You know, there are judicial decisions in the Supreme Court, tens of thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of them. Some of the stupidest things. And yet, because it was decided in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, it's considered law. They use that as a case to base their other cases on. That's wrong. A Supreme Court decision should be just that, a Supreme Court decision for one case. Roe versus Wade should have been Roe versus Wade. If they wanted that to become part of the Constitution, it should have gone through the federal government. If they wanted that to become law, it should have gone through the federal government and be voted on by the Congress. Same way they stole the election in 2020. They made changes to the rules. They made changes to voting laws and voting rules to allow for dangerous methods of voting that are easily corrupted. And those went through the executive order of most of the government officials, Secretary of the States or governors, bypassed our constitutional right that those things should all go through the legislature of the state. Let's talk about some mandates. One of the most evil mandates that ever was created. Now, let's look at two things. You've got something called Social Security. Money you taken out of your paycheck every week if you work for a regular company, or you're supposed to put in if you work for yourself. A lot of people don't. Something you're supposed to get back that maybe you will, maybe you won't, because they stole all the money. But it's also something that's voluntary. It's not voluntary whether you put into it or not. That's a mandate. That's mandatory. But whether you take Social Security or not, that's a different story. You don't have to take Social Security. If you want to delay Social Security, God bless you, you can do it. Now let's shift gears. Now let's talk about Medicare. Medicare is one of the most poorly planned out, most evil things ever created on the planet. It's mandatory that you take it. If you don't take it, you don't have to take it, but if you do, delay taking it, they're going to charge you forever copious extra sums of money every month for the pleasure of doing business with them, even though you've saved them money for all those years that you were not on Medicare. Medicare provides, by itself, provides extremely poor benefits, virtually no coverage, and allows you to go bankrupt if you get sick and go to the hospital. It has no value. And if you don't buy into Medicare, then you can't get a secondary plan from another company. You don't have choice. You know, I always say keep an open mind. I'm a registered Republican, lifelong, generally conservative. But I agree with the Democrats in part that, you know, there should be a plan that Medicare should be optional. And there should be that should be the public plan. And you should be able to get money back to use towards a private plan without having to have Medicare at all. And you should be able to take it anytime you want. You should be able to wait till age 70 if you want to take it. You're saving money. Why would you charge somebody more when you're saving that that company or that government money? I don't understand. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Wouldn't you think that playing the odds would save the government a lot of money? Nothing makes sense any longer. The mandate, that is one of the most evil mandates put in place, forced upon us. You got mandates of using U.S. currency. We have to rely on the United States of America as the only currency, and that's in the Constitution. But it's a mandate that we only use currency created by the federal government and regulated by the federal government. That was good when the federal government just protected us from our overseas enemies and regulated interstate commerce. But now the government owns the world. They own the country. In fact, I just saw that Russia was getting upset. Putin was getting upset at Joe Biden for sanctions and other things. He says, you're going to lose your economy. You're going to lose. We're going to change and use something other than the U.S. dollar because of those sanctions and those other issues. The federal government is screwing the world, screwing us, but we're mandated to use that. Now, there are so many mandates, but people don't think about the things that are forced upon us that we have no choice over. And the federal government rules by edict. They rule by executive order, judicial decisions, and police powers. They rule by implementing regulation that they're not even allowed to. Now think about this. Why when the mandate came out for the vaccine, why was it companies over 50, with over 50 employees? Why? Bueller, Ferris Bueller, anybody? It's over 50 because that's what OSHA regulates. Now, what is OSHA? When you think about it, OSHA is an illegal, federally controlled agency. It's illegal because it controls private industry, but it's run by the government. You can't do that. And nobody's questioned that. The FDA, same thing. You can't control what states do. You can't control what private companies do. But they do it by owning the companies and controlling the agencies that control the private industry and individuals. And someone's got to call them out on this. This is insane. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know, you look at insurance companies. Insurance companies can't cross state lines. Even if they have authorization from state to state, they can only work within their state because they can't cross state lines. Stupid. It's interstate commerce. Which is why you have the health insurance issues that we have right now. And I know I'm going to interrupt my little speech here. I know a lot of you are saying, "Oh, mandates. I want to know about, you know, vaccine." I'm going to get to that. We'll talk about some of the issues with that because people are asking about that. So hang in there. Don't go anywhere. So where is all this headed? It's headed in a path that somehow you need to rein in the powers of the federal government. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. When you have a 50-50 split in Congress and the House, you have a lot of back and forth. You have actually have an ability to sit down and discuss things and come out with a reasonable compromise that neither party nor any of the third parties like. But as people, as citizens, we get far better representation when the House and the Senate are split. Because there's a lot of issues that neither party can solve. And if the party listened to the people, they'd be far better off. Now I'm going to also offer, we're going to jump back to supply chain because part of the mandates, you know, a lot of the mandates relate to interstate commerce, overseas commerce, which is why Joe Biden wants to go jump into California. Here's an interesting piece of trivia. I don't know if anybody caught this on the news or maybe on Google or Facebook or something. 43%. Now you wonder why we've got supply chain problems. 43%. I'm going to say that again. 43. That's almost half. 43% of all commerce, all products that goes in every store, that goes in every distribution center, everywhere in the United States of America, 43% of everything that comes into this country that's imported goes through one port in the great nation of California. 43%. And you wonder why we've got a supply chain problem going through communist California. What the hell's going on with that? 43%. And of that 43%, another 20 to 30% goes through other ports in California. Because guess what? California is close to, ba-da-dum, drum roll, brum, ba-bum, ba-bum, China. And California is pure evil. Now, here's a good one for you. You see how well that green energy, that solar wind power energy, that Mickey Mouse half-assed energy plan worked for Texas. You know what California just did? They put a ban in for any motorized contraption that's used in your yard, including home generators. Anything that runs on any fossil fuel has been banned in the great nation of California. By edict by Comrade Newsom. Now, aren't there a lot of wildfires out in California. Aren't there a lot of power outages in California? Tell me what the hell good a $500 Harbor Freight solar panel is going to do you when the power goes out. You need diesel fuel and gasoline, propane, natural gas. What a bunch of idiots, fools. Then they complain when the power goes out and nobody can survive. Boneheaded idiots. You know, and they were the first ones to throw all the mandates in for the vaccine. They were the first ones to close up shop on all their businesses. Realize a third of the people, almost a third of the people of the United States of America, live in the nation, great nation of California. Really need to split that state off into a country of its own. Idiots. All right, so I'm going to have a little bit on the specific mandates that are in place now and why they're so evil for the vaccine. We discussed a little bit last week, and last week on the podcast, I was telling you about how the 1905 smallpox judicial case affected what they're doing right now. Basically, that case and the case against eugenics, which was in the 1960s or 1950s, both came down to the fact that the United States government in times of crisis can utilize police powers basically to do anything they want to any citizen of the United States of America. You become a non-citizen in a police crisis. If something affects the whole country. Now, a lot of people have said that, oh, well, I'm not sick. You shouldn't be able to regulate me. If I'm sick, I can see being quarantined or being forced, to get vaccinated or whatever. Not the case, folks. You can be 100% perfect. You can be nothing wrong. You can be quarantined, sequestered in your home. Never leave your house. Have everything delivered by delivery person to your front doorstep. And they can still drag you out of your house, chain you to the wall, and inject you with whatever the hell they want. If they consider you a threat or that you may pass something on to someone or you may do damage or hurt someone, they consider you a threat, a danger to others. You have no rights. And there's no exception, there's no exemption whatsoever that will get you out of that. Just like there's no exemption whatsoever that will get you to pay less for Medicare if you wait and delay buying into it. These are fixed mandates that need to be overturned. These are judicial decisions that have put us in the situation we're in right now. These are not laws. And executive orders are based on these judicial decisions, despite the fact that there's judicial decisions to the contrary in many cases. You can pick and choose, folks. There's a judicial decision pro and con for everything you can come up with, no matter what it is, whether you want an exemption from the military, whether you want an exemption from the vaccine, whether you want an exemption from a requirement for a passport card to go over to go to Canada, whatever you might want, there's decisions both ways. Then the question is, whoever's in charge has to choose the decision that they're going to use. Now, Roe versus Wade. Roe never even had an abortion. And despite what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris say, it's not in the Constitution that you're allowed to have an abortion. It's nowhere in the Constitution. It's a judicial decision to which there are exact opposite judicial decisions that could be utilized. Now for the final, and I'm not going to carry on too long. I'm going to try to play the show out here for you, but I had my third cold, and it seems to always come on a Wednesday or a Thursday for my just in time for my podcast. And you can probably hear it in my voice. It's a little bit raspy. Unfortunately, I took a long walk today and cleared my head and cleared my throats out and everything, but we'll try and run the whole podcast for you today, but as close as we can. But I do want to be sure to get this part in, because this is the big question people are asking. Are there exemptions? What happens if there aren't? So first of all, the federal government, like I said, you can do what you want. The federal government can do whatever they want. You have no option. If you don't like the rules in the federal government and you work for them, you can quit or be fired. Federal contractors, I think, you know, if enough federal contractors or people receiving federal funding got together, could override that in a Supreme Court. But you got to find somebody to do that. You got to find somebody to set that judicial decision. That's the problem. You need the money to do that. It costs a lot of money to fight the Supreme Court. Usually you have to start at the local level first and then prove that your case involves the entire nation to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a long path, and it's not fun. And unless the liberal organizations, like the ACLU and the other liberal organizations, like your cause, they're not going to go to bat for you. They're not going to put up the money for it. You're going to have to find another sponsor. And conservatives refuse to support any cause. And, you know, I'll be honest, I still love Donald Trump. I know the man. I worked for him. With the money he has, he should be out there fighting these things. He should be utilizing the money he's gotten from us as donors to go and fight some of this stuff. I'm kind of annoyed to see that he's not in there fighting those battles. Look at some of the other wealthy Republicans. Look at Elon Musk and some others that are conservative. Rather than sending rockets into space, they should be fighting the problems we have on Earth. They should be going to the Supreme Court and doing battle. And they're not. That just pisses me off. Now, and the Democrats do the exact opposite. Democrats support their causes. They support all these cases. They supported Roe versus Wade. They supported all these liberal causes that are going through the Supreme Court. Conservatives will not support anything. So somehow we have to get these rich bastards involved. And we have people. We have a lot of people that are very wealthy on the conservative and the Republican side and libertarians and others. You got to speak with your dollars, man. It's now just talking about these things doesn't help. You got to speak with your words, your actions. So now if you're in private industry, you got a different story. So private industry sometimes has options. They have exemptions to mandates. Now, how the hell they say you've got to be tested if you have an exemption? I mean, it's stupid. You got to be tested on a weekly basis. What happens if you get sick right in the middle of the week? How about if one of those vaccinated people that's in your building gets you sick because they're sick? Because the vaccine doesn't work worth a crap. Everybody knows that. It makes no sense. And then, you know, the federal government and even some private industry is forcing mandates for the vaccine on people that work from home. That's insane, folks. That's insane. And these companies will not stand up because they don't want to be fined. They don't want to fight the fines. They don't want to be put in the spotlight. Why doesn't someone like Chick-fil-A or what's that other one? The Hobby Lobby or one of the others that's huge conservative with lots of money. Why don't they go and support this crap? Conservatives don't fight for conservative causes. I don't understand it. We need to write to these people. That's a great idea. I just thought of that while we're on the podcast right now. We should all start writing. We should write to Donald Trump. We should write to Elon Musk and write to Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A and some of the other conservative people, other rich conservatives that you might know. Tell them to get their act together and fight this crap for us. Put some money behind this. Why do we even support conservative causes if the conservatives don't friggin' support us? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's really starting to piss me off. I don't know about you. We need to start getting out there. What we can do as citizens, is go against these bastards and tell them we're not going to vote them in. We're not going to buy their crap. If they don't go up to go to bat for us, they got the money. They got tons of money. There's money flowing like water. You know, watch a freaking spacecraft with William Shatner. I mean, that's cool. It's fun. Why the hell don't you support a cause at home? Get us out of the mess we're in. Go fight these idiots in the White House. I have no respect for any of them anymore. I'm tired of it. You know, at least 70 million people that actually are outspoken enough to, you know, vote in 2020 in the right way could be writing these letters, could be knocking on people's doors, could be boycotting products and services. You know, 70 million people can have a great impact. But how many have actually done that? How many have you heard of? And I'm gonna jump back to last week's podcast since we're talking about mandates and there's exemptions to mandates. In this case, the vaccine, again, that's a big one people are talking about these days. That's not what this podcast was intended for, but that's obviously part of it. Now, people look for exemptions. A religious exemption is the easiest one, but none of the churches want to give a religious exemption. Why? Why? Because they're 501c3s and they get money from the state, which AKA is money from the government. States are run by the federal government, even though they're not supposed to be. They're not going to go against this. But if you are going to get a mandate, you want a mandate that's legitimate. People are saying, oh, it's the fetal cells are being used. Yeah, that's never going to cut it. If you're concerned about fetal cells being used in testing, then you're barking up the wrong tree because you can't even eat a steak or a piece of bacon. You can't take an aspirin or Tylenol. All of them use aborted fetal cells. And I'm gonna add to that because people always talk about that. And I'm gonna say, you know what? What would Jesus do? What would God do? Think about it. If somebody aborts a baby, somebody kills one of God's children, that's abhorrent to the Lord. But you know what's more abhorrent? When they throw them in a garbage can or burn it. Those aborted cells that are going to be aborted anyway, that you can't stop, are put to a good cause to help others. Wouldn't God approve of that? Wouldn't that be much better than burning it in a furnace? So if you want an exemption, you have to look for something more in depth. And last week we talked about the God of gold. Personally, I take my orders, my marching orders come from God. They don't come from Joe Biden. They don't come from Kamala Harris. They don't come from the CDC or the World Health Organization. They are not to dictate to me. They are not above God. They have become the God of gold. And that's the exemption I use in my church. And it has worked and gotten people exemptions in business. By the way, Modern Day Christian Fellowship, it's the name of my church. Anybody that needs an exemption, feel free to mail to connect with me. You've got an exemption. You can become part of the church for free. There's no cost for anything. And I'm not a 501c3, so the government doesn't rule me. And I don't think any church should be tax exempt. Now, the Democrats, it's funny, the Democrats want to get rid of the church tax exemptions. It's actually the Republicans that should want to get rid of it. Because if the churches are to be impartial, they can't be taking money from the federal or state government. You can't be beholden to the government and also to God. Because now your God of gold is the government. Think about that. God of gold. That's who controls us right now. And people believe it. You can watch what the people are doing. Watch what the believers are doing. Watch how they pray and bow down to the Fauci and to Joe Biden and to the government and to the rules. Without question. Isn't that what you do to a God? We need to fight. We need to fight back. We need to fight hard. We need to win this battle. And I think we need to bring the big guns in somehow. That are sitting on the sidelines and not helping us. And sadly, that concludes my dear friend Donald Trump. And you know, if he stood up and put money behind a project and won some cases in the Supreme Court besides the election issue, boy, he would bump right over the top of everything. He would be, you know, the absolute hero to all those who are for freedom, for religion, and for our country. So maybe we need to start sending some letters. And don't get me wrong, I'll take Donald Trump over Joe Biden or anybody else any day. But I just think he could be doing a lot more, given his position, his popularity, even today, and his money. And the people he knows. He should be going after Chick-fil-A and after Elon Musk and the others. We need to push him. We need to push him over the edge. We need to get him moving. That's your homework for next week. And as I slowly watch my carriage turning into a pumpkin, I'm going to say God bless all. Hey, if you just joined later in midstream and you're in the studio, send me some hearts, send me some flowers, whatever Podbean allows you. Send some money. We need money. Donate.eamedia.online or whatever you can do on the podcast. We need to keep this thing going. We need to keep this going. And more importantly, bring your friends over every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can also watch or listen rather offline. These always go offline within an hour of the presentation. So send your friends. With that, I will turn into a pumpkin and say good evening. God bless. We'll see you next week. Same time, same podcast. Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. Good evening. See Mr. Klein, Mr. Webb Klein is in there. Thank you for coming in by tonight. Thank you all for being here. God bless every one of you and Joanne, Marilyn, everybody that's in the studio that I can see. I just scrolled off my screen, but God bless every one of you. Have a great evening. We'll see you next week.